Good evening.
Hana.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We're going to begin with the Shenya food. We're studying the Sulam commentary on the Zohar from Parashat Vayera, section 11. Tonight, we will start with verse 161. L'shem yichud kudsha b'richu ishkinte bidhilu urchimu udhilu udhilu urchimu. L'yakta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe. L'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. L'imud Torah mitzvah. L'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayhino amadunai Elohinu alena maaseya adenu kunene alena maaseya adenu kunenehu. Pasuk 161. Utachatei adla it gezar Avraham ahuzara dileya lahawa kadisha. Begin din pak the goy arla the itavak the arla latata levatar the itkazar nafak ahuzara begoy kadisha the itavak bikusha ilela loli the ela we itavak. Avraham Badar Gaya Kid Kayaot Kahate Kadolid Avraham Liatak Nefak Kadisha Kid Kayaot Behai Mai Aadu Leolidu Kashoka. The translation. Come and see. Before Abraham was circumcised, his seed was not holy, because it passed through the foreskin and clung to the lower foreskin. But after he was circumcised, his seed issued in holiness, and it clung to the holiness of above, and he begot up above. Thus Abraham clung to his grave, which is chesed, properly. Come and see, when Abraham begot Isaac, he was born holy, as should properly be. So these waters, which allude to Abraham, who is chesed, conceived and bore darkness. In other words, Isaac, who is the secret of the left column, was darkness, because he was clothed with the chesedim of Abraham. After he issued from Abraham, he was clothed by his chasadim and became light. By commentary, you understand this vocabulary. As a student of Kabbalah, did you consider the concept of relativity as it applies to the above pasuk? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, we actually did this last week. I was trying to think what we had to say about it, but evidently we need to hear it again. So,
well, yeah, we didn't really finish it. I was in a rush. That's why I read it again.
Okay.
Last week, Malka was asking a question about... Well, her comments were related to Isaac and trying to understand why, how could the seed cling to the spores, the different levels of foreskin. And then it was Isaac become dark or come as darkness from Abraham?
Well, the notation I made was each ejaculation remained in darkness before circumcision. That was a notation.
That is true. And based on the laws of modesty, ejaculations need to be made in darkness.
Mm-hmm.
As I remember, there's a story in the reincarnation advanced classes about someone that had died in round spot, and the Ari was walking with his student Rabbi Chaim Vital, and he said that this man approached him, not a man but a spirit approached him and asked for assistance in elevating to the next level, and the Ari asked him what his prime was. And he said that it was having relations with his wife with a candle on, with a candle lit. So the laws of modesty are very clear in that regard.
And last week, Rabbi Ginsburg, daily message was that converts came from the souls that came from Abraham and Sarah's marital relationships that did not result in a pregnancy.
And he's referring to the converts from the advanced reincarnation classes, indicating that the Ruach, who does not complete his tikkun, when it comes back the second time, did not come back with the nefesh of that same person and same level. So it takes a convert soul, is the term that's used. And that's what Rabbi Ginsburg was referring to. Although, okay, because the word convert is so confusing as we use it today, people get a little bit lost in the, you know, because the convert can be a soul that the Ari was describing as coming from relations between a husband and wife who does not manifest as a child, but the soul is still created. And then in our world, you use the word convert as someone who has gone through a conversion process and left their previous life and connected to Judaism. So the word is very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other question or the other comment that I think is important, and Malka was asking about this, is how could Isaac be in darkness? And how could the clothing of coming from Chesed create darkness? And that's where the issue of relativity comes in. Because Givurah, Isaac represents Givurah, is when it's concealed within Chesed, because Chesed is the cause of Givurah. And that's on many levels, because you can have someone manifesting Chesed in their life, and the result of that Chesed has an agenda attached to it. And so the Givurah that comes from that is a reaction to the chesed, to the goodness that's being shared. Because it's coming from an agenda, it has darkness attached to it. And so Ruach can be a reaction to the agenda coming from chesed. So the idea of the relativity needs to be applied.
Mm-hmm. Would that apply to all areas, not just marital relations and circumcision? Would it be in any action that a person is doing that you think is hesed, but if you have an agenda with it, even if you're not really kind of aware that it's an agenda, that hesed has gevurah in it?
My answer to that question is yes. That's my opinion. I haven't read that anywhere. The closest I read that, or the closest I was taught that, has to do, I had a thought and I lost it, so it'll come back.
Okay.
It has to do with the
I guess with your kavanah, at the time that you're performing the hesed.
Well, that's where the agenda is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's from kavanah. But any action that is not done to give pleasure to the Creator, to give pleasure to Hashem, if any other kavanah is an aspect of an agenda. And so there's some element in that chesed act that isn't pure. And the impurity associated with that is going to affect the result. The chesed mm-hmm. is a cause. But let's say, again, using just numbers to give you some perspective, 99% of the chesed is the consciousness of sharing with Hashem, but 1% is a selfish orientation, which is another code word associated with the word agenda. That 1% is still going to create impurity in that chesed, and that will lead to a reaction. Now I remember the thought that I wanted to share. We have been taught, not in Kabbalah per se, but we've been taught in Perkei Avot, I believe it is, and also in Musar, that if you truly love someone who hates you, that your love will be felt by the person who hates you, and it will transform that person to become your friend. And the examples that are used are people who are angry and filled with hate at their situation of poverty or control by others or whatever the particular issue is. But if you approach that person filled with true love, that they will sense that love and their hatred will become transformed. And that is really the answer to your question and why I answer your question that yes. Because it's very difficult to reach that level of pure love for another. That's the level of the ahavta l'reacha kamocha.
Well, I think I experienced a way. It took a long time, almost 10 years. But in a meditation, I had that person sit across me. And I would say, I'm sorry, forgive me. I don't think I did anything wrong, but, you know, you put it on yourself to be unified rather than to be right. And I would imagine that person answering me back, I forgive, I'm sorry. And 10 years later, that person appeared at my door. And the night before, I had a dream. Tony's brother was in a chair, and he told me this person was at my door. And I looked up. Anyway, the next day, the person that I saw at my door appeared at my door.
Mm-hmm. And it's an indication that, you, in your meditations, you were expressing your love. Let's go on to Pleasant 160, unless you have another comment.
Well, I just wanted to say that person really hurt me deeply, but it took a long time. But it happened, so it worked.
Part of what you said when you said in your meditation that you were apologizing, but you really didn't think you did anything wrong, that's part of the agenda. Because
okay.
When you don't, if you didn't do anything wrong, there is no need to apologize. But accepting the idea that the other person is also right brings you closer together, and eventually you will arrive at that place where you ask for the apology, you ask for the forgiveness, and you truly mean it without the agenda that I didn't do anything wrong. Because the I didn't do anything wrong is coming from a level of ego.
Well, actually, what I meant was what I was accused of, I was not guilty of. Let me put it that way. Of course, I accept what you said, It's nobody's 100% right in anything, But anyway.
Correct. There's always 17 perceptions.
Right.
How do we balance them all?
Mm-hmm. And I've seen many times where you say something and someone takes it completely. I mean, you had no idea that it would have been taken that way. I've seen that happen several times, too.
We all have.
Yeah.
Lesson 162. Rabbi Elazar She'el Yom Ahad Rabbi Shimon Avo Amar Lo Haidikara Ve'yakut Shabrihu Yitzhak Piktiv Dikarat Et Shemo Yitzhak Amai Deha Itchaze De'ad La Nefak Ve'alma kara le'ya Yitzhak. The translation. One day Rabbi Elazar asked his father, Rabbi Shimon, why did the Holy One, blessed be He, name him Isaac before he was born, as it is written, and you shall call his name Isaac. And we should not say it was because she said Elohim has made laughter, the Hebrew word is tzachok, for me, because even before he came into the world, the Holy One, blessed be He, called him Isaac, before reason was given for it. We've also done this last week, but I don't think we completed it. My commentary, the question is about cause and effect as it applies to a person's name. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, see, I always thought because she laughed that that was the reason his name was given, Isaac.
That is exactly what...
That's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Torah says that's the reason, because she laughed. But Rabbi Elazar is pointing out the fact that Hashem caused him, called this soul... laughter, or Isaac, before it came into the world, before it was put into a body in the womb. And so he's saying, why did he call it laughter? Why did he call it Isaac before it was even implanted in the womb? And that's the question. We're not given an answer in this pasuk. We'll be given a one in a later one, later pasuk. But the question is has to be evaluated, and most people don't consider it because they're reading the stories, and they don't really look at the cycle. Because if you have a verse, and I'm paraphrasing the Torah, if you have a verse that says God told Sarah to call his name Isaac, it means that God did that prior to the conception of the child. But we don't think like that. We heard the verse say God told her to call his name Isaac, and then it says the next verse, the next pasuk says she called his name Isaac because she had laughed. But if you read, sometimes there's no lineage in the word isn't lineage. There's no one verse that's before another verse in the Torah does not have to be following chronologically. The verses can be rearranged. The example of that is the first two verses in the Torah. The first verse is Bereshit. The second verse is describing the world that came before Bereshit, Tohu Vavohu. So we know the Torah is not in chronological order. And Rabbi Elazar is saying the statement from Hashem, call his name Isaac, is the reason, but we don't know the reason. Sarah is saying, I'm going to call his name Isaac because I laughed. Again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't remember the exact, haven't memorized the verse per se. But the cycle of the verse, what came first, always the spiritual is first. Always the spiritual is the cause. God telling Sarah to call his name Isaac means that God had called him Isaac at the spiritual level when he sent it down to go into the body in the fetus in Sarah's womb. Any questions or comments you want to continue here, or should I move on?
Well, I'm thinking back. I don't know if it was the last chapter or maybe the chapter before that the Zohar mentioned, you know, Abraham being right column with Hesed and Isaac being left column, and that paved the way for Jacob or to become Israel as middle column. And that's the only other thing that came to me.
And what you said is true. But,
you know,
did Jacob cause Isaac?
Did Jacob cause Isaac? No, I think it was Chesed flowing to Gevurah that moved to the center column. They created center column.
Well, they create center column when they join together. They create the center column when the left column, when Gevurah, accepts the binding. But remember, there are lines going directly from Chesed to Tiferet. And there are lines going from Chesed to Gevurah, and there's lines going from Gevurah to Tiferet. And there's a line going from Keter to Tiferet. So who is the cause of whom? We are taught that Chesed includes the other five. It includes Gevurah. It includes Tiferet. It includes Netzach. It includes Hod. It includes Yesod. And so the process Chesed creates is the cause of Gevurah. But then Chesed and Gevurah together create Tiferet. Why? Because Tiferet is also within Gevurah as well as in Chesed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The central column is created by the joining of the two together. So the question becomes, what's cause and what's effect?
That was my notation. Verse 162 was cause and effect.
Yes.
And I also wrote laughter to sweeten judgment. I don't know why I wrote that, but if that was my thought, or if you said it, or maybe Malka said it.
I think I said it last week, but okay. I don't remember cause of where that came from within me. So if it's important, it'll come again. Verse 163. Oh, sweetening judgment is what we describe as from Rosh Hashanah. That the purpose of Chesed rising up to Bina is to sweeten judgment. And
I think
Bina
said something about laughter bringing work is good like a medicine. I remember that too. So I think we were focusing on the meaning of Isaac as being laughter. Yeah.
So we'll go to Pasuk 163.
Okay.
Amar lo ha'itmar te'esha netal maya te'ha maya mesitra igvura gaka atyan v'dasha el lele wa'e ve'inun bedichin le'ha'u sitra Lemane zemer v'chush becham lekavel ha'isetik sitra begin kach yitzak ihu chedwa begin diate mehahu sitra v'itzav bak be'ya. He replies, but we have learned that fire, which is the left aspect, and Gevurah received water, which is the right aspect, and Chesed, as water came from the aspect of Gevurah. This means that the left and right were combined and became included in each other. Thus, the left aspect became the aspect of the wine that gladdens Elohim and man, and it is required of the Levites, who are drawn from the left column, that they bring happiness to that side, namely the left side, with musical instruments and praising songs that correspond to that side. This means that musical instruments and praising songs are also drawn from the left side. And this is why Isaac means laughter and enjoyment. He came from that side, the left side, and clung to it. My commentary, This verse is clear as written to an experienced student of Kabbalah. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, I think what you just explained was in the verse. You know, with the lines and such. The idea, I've heard you mention it several times, and I've been meaning to ask the question, but then I'd forget the question. You mentioned adding water to wine when we do Kiddush.
Yes.
Does it have to do with this verse? Because I had never seen that or heard of it before, but you've said it several times, and each time you said it, I meant to ask you if that was something that we needed to do every time we said Kiddush.
One of the effects of adding 3 drops of water to the Kiddush cup or to the bottle of wine initially is that you prevent drunkenness. You will not be able to get drunk with the 3 drops of water added to a bottle of wine.
Oh, thanks. And adding it to the bottle doesn't cause the contents of the bottle to go, to become contaminated in any way?
No. And of course, this would be uncooked wine, which is another issue, whether it's pasteurized or not.
Well, you know, all we know is
you know that you have a kosher mark on
kosher wine. You know, it's always kosher wine.
But if you look on the bottle, it'll tell you if it's been pasteurized or not.
Okay.
And if it hasn't been pasteurized, it's strongly recommended that you add the 3 drops of water to the bottle. If you don't do it in the bottle, then do it in the cup.
Okay, sometimes we'll take the cup, especially if it's a special occasion and we have guests, that Tony will take the cup and we have little bitty small Kiddush cups. And I read somewhere once upon a time, a long time ago, that it's an extra blessing to be able to drink the wine from the Kiddush cup.
Yes, it is.
And to share it with your guest at the table. If you had not put your 3 drops of water, would you have put your 3 drops in the Kiddush cup?
You would put it in the Kiddush cup, and then when you pour it into the smaller cup, the wine has been affected by the 3 drops, so there's no need to pour any more water.
Okay.
This whole idea, if you look at Rabbi Ashlag's comments in this verse, and we are out of time, but I'll just say this quickly, where it says, this means that the left and right were combined and became included in each other. Thus, the left aspect became the aspect of the wine that gladdens the Elohim in man, and it is required, so forth. But that aspect of including it in each other.
Mm-hmm.
We visualize it from Song of Songs that the left is under his head and so forth.
The left hand is his head, the right hand embraces me. That's one of my favorite verses.
Yeah, but it the idea is that they're separated, doing 2 different actions. But in reality, in the central column, they're included in each other. Gevura does not lose, does not lose doesn't lose anything by accepting control by Chesed. And Chesed does not lose anything by accepting accepting control by Gibel Ra. But it's when they are combined together that you get the central column. When they are included in each other, you get the central column. There's a lot to contemplate there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out
and because
of time,
the Levites are off that column, that's why the musical instruments and songs would be from left columns.
Yes.
Because it's associated with the Levites. Okay.
Yes. You have to remember the in the temple you have the three columns. You have the priest, which is the right column. But he's doing the sacrifice. He's actually slaughtering the animal. You have the Levite singing and elevating the mood of both the priest and the Israelite who's bringing the sacrifice. And so you see the combination and the unity of all three.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how the Tree of Life is manifested through the sacrifices. Without the Levites, you don't get that elevation associated with the song. Without the priest, you don't get the proper kavanah in the shechting of the animal. And without the contrition of the
Israelites,
you don't get the unity of all three.
Right. Wow.
You have a beautiful evening, and our class at 7 will be the reading from the Ari.
Okay, thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.